Well, thank you for coming. It's really a great pleasure for Mako and me to be here. And it's a particularly great pleasure because we're seeing our work together for the first time, this project. I had visited New York a couple of times and saw his work in progress, and even up to Gloucester, Massachusetts, where I live, to see mine underway. And Chris Theofanidis, who's here, the composer whose work you'll hear debuted tonight, came to both our studios. But we've been working, in a sense, you know, hundreds of miles apart, and so it's a great pleasure to hear Chris's piece debut tonight. We've not heard it yet, except with him at my piano in my house and a little computer giving out sort of buzzing sounds that were supposed to be violins and violas and whatnot. What we thought we'd do this afternoon is each of us take turns, 10, 15, 20 minutes, to talk about the things that are of concern to us in this project. And also to read a bit from Eliot's Four Quartets. I don't know if you remember to bring your copy. I've left mine in the office, but actually I have enough of it memorized that the parts that I want to talk to you about are probably going to get more or less right. So I think we'll just go with it. First thing I wanted to say is that the tree is a living being that has been with us from the beginning of our sojourn as human beings. The tree is a symbol of life for us. There's no way to get around the tree. The tree has been, from the earliest pagan religions, in the sacred groves that were on top of high places and hills, where sacrifices were made to gods, to placate the gods in order to bring crop yield and fecundity and fertility for our children, to the very fruit that the tree bears for us so that we can live. It also figures very prominently in the Christian and Jewish scriptures, in the story of Genesis, where there are two very particularly important trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And what we're told in that story is that the man who was created from the dirt, and by the way, his name, Adama, means earth. That's what Adama is earth. And his wife, Chava, Eve, means life. So our parents, our grandparents, are earth and life. And the tree of life, is for the healing of the nations. Its leaves, its fruit, are a gift of God to us. Why did we reach out and take from the one tree that was said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die? Or as the Hebrew actually literally translated says, you shall die. You'll die a double death, a second death, a spiritual death. And of course, Adam and Eve didn't literally die physically. They continued to live. And Adam, we're told, lived to over 600 years old. So obviously the death that God, the Lord God, was speaking of in that case was something metaphorical or spiritual. What interests me, trying to come to grips with Eliot's poem, which is a comprehensive, if you've not read it, the Four Quartets really are an evocation of our lives in time. The four seasons are addressed in the poem, the four basic elements, earth, air, fire, and water, which are symbolic elements, not the literal elements only that we get in the periodic table, but are incredibly freighted symbols. And those symbols speak to us out of this wise and very broad vision that Eliot's tried to communicate. But a word about symbols for a moment, and why it's important to me to have incorporated the tree into my paintings. A symbol, the word symbol, the Greek word for symbol, actually is derived from a little tile. It was called a tessera hospitalis. And what you did when company came, usually a stranger, is before they came over the threshold of your home, you would take this little tile and you'd break it. Often it had a couple of hands on it in a handshake, a little ceramic tile. And you'd break that tile and you'd hand half to your guest and you'd say, henceforth you and anyone to whom you give this half of tile is welcome in my place, my dwelling. But of course you have to fit the two pieces of the tile back together again to be sure it's the right fit and that is the right person. That was the original meaning. That was the literal meaning of the word symbol. But of course in Greek culture it came to be freighted with all sorts of interesting metaphorical connotations, right? But I'm going to say for a moment what that hospitable, welcoming, broken thing might mean for us. The symbols, in my opinion, and I believe the atmosphere that's generated by the work of Makoto Fujimura, is all about welcome. It's all about, we ask, I'll just say it, I want you to identify with these people in my paintings. And the soft and welcoming darkness in Mako's paintings are also inviting you. So we're breaking the tile today. And I'm saying you complete the work. You bring your half of the tile. You have your half. Bring your half of the tile together with mine, and you will know what these paintings are here for and what they are meant to be. I'm not arguing for a total subjectivist reading of this work and saying, well, I have no intentions as an artist, you have to tell me what the thing means. But actually, the truth is, I'm very eager, I'm looking forward more than anything to hearing what your questions and your comments are and what you might bring to this conversation. So this is really meant to be a conversational thing, not a monologue on my part or on Mako's part. I'll just say a couple things more and then turn it over to Mako. And then we're hoping for a good and vigorous conversation with you all. It's a little awkward because you're standing. So, if you have to sit, there are some chairs, I know, scattered around. But also, students especially, or anyone who feels comfortable sitting on the floor, please feel free to drop. A couple more words I wanted to say, and I have a little bit of Eliot's text that I'd like to recite for you, as best as I can from memory. The symbol for me, this broken tile, this tessera hospitalis, in my work in particular, I believe, dwells on the surface of the painting. It's not actually the image, although clearly I have an image in each of my paintings, an image of a man, of an old man, an adult woman, a young woman, and a little boy. But the image is not nearly as important to me as a painter as the surface of the painting, the skin of the painting. We were talking about this with a group of students a little bit earlier. The marks, the paint itself, the materials, the incarnate presence of the thing itself. So I've actually painted my images so that you should be able to get up within a couple inches of them and get as much or more out of them than you can by standing back and just letting the image coalesce and be clearly recognizable. Do I need to say more about it? I guess I would just say there's no hidden message in my paintings. It's all open. It's all up front. So what you see is what is there on the surface of the painting. Now, about the meanings that are possible, that's where the broken tile comes in. That's where your half of the tile has to be supplied. You need to bring to the painting what you bring. I brought what I bring. I've offered it. That's the best I can do. I can't interpret my work for you perfectly. In fact, I would guess your interpretation would be more interesting than mine. A couple of quotes from T.S. Eliot. Garlic and sapphires in the mud caught the bedded axle tree. The trilling wire in the blood sings below inveterate scars, appeasing long forgotten wars. Ascend to summer in the tree, we rise in light above the figured leaf. And then later in that same passage from Bert Norton, the first part of the Four Quartets, he says, at the still point of the turning world, there the dance is. And without the dance, there's nothing. There's only the dance. At the still point of the turning world. And lastly, with the drawing of this love, with the voice of this calling, we shall not cease from exploration. And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Through the unknown, remembered gate, when the last of earth left to discover is that which was the beginning. At the source of the longest river, the voice of the hidden waterfall, and children in the apple tree, not known because not looked for, but heard, half heard in the stillness between two waves of the sea. Quick now, here, now, always, a condition of complete simplicity, costing not less than everything. and all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well when the tongues of flame are enfolded into the crowned knot of fire, and the fire and the rose are one.